Our gospel this morning is from the 15th chapter of Luke, and it's a couple of parables, but it's all this conversation about sinners and being lost and being found and what are we supposed to do and on and on and on. And Jesus has a unique way of presenting this to all of us. So now, all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "You know, this fellow welcomes sinners and he eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and he rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." It's the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children up for a message. If you guys can make it down here, that would be great. We're going to have a wonderful conversation about finances. Isn't it going to be fun? Huh? Finances. Think of that. Okay, I'm going to park myself right here. How are we doing? Here comes some more. What's this sound like to you? Coins. You're right, they're coins. These are coins. All right, so I've got a few of them here. Are we all here? Oh, here comes another one. All right, here we go. Look at these. Whoops. I got quite a few there, don't I? You know, which one do you want? Okay, hang on one second. Now, because if you start taking them, then my sermon's going to kind of go all to pot on me because I won't have any coins left. Okay, so have you guys ever carried this many coins like in your hand and you've tried to walk around the house and all, you got some that drop through your fingers and you lose it and it just kind of disappears? Have you ever done that before with stuff? Like with a coin? Yeah, it happens, doesn't it? When you try and carry a whole bunch of stuff and all of a sudden you drop it, and then you want to go back and you want to find it? Or do you not necessarily care too much about it?
I don't know where all my stuff is and I can't find it.
That's the problem. See, you can't find it. Yeah. You can find yours, huh? Well, that's part of the problem. You can too? Yeah, see, that makes a difference when you have glasses. I can't find anything without my glasses. But when you have a lot of coins like this, it doesn't seem too important. Like if I were to drop this penny somewhere on the carpet and I realized that it was gone, when I sat down to count my money, I knew this was gone, am I going to go running to try and find this, or am I going to be happy to just have all my other money? What do you think? Yeah, see, this is only one penny, right? So you aren't going to think anything about that, just losing one, because look at all this other stuff that we've got. But you know something? God has something for you to think about. Think about this. Think about, what if each of you was a penny? Okay?
I was a penny?
Yeah. What if each of you was a penny? Do you know what Jesus is telling us today in our gospel today? Jesus is telling us, do you know something? If Jesus so much as lost a penny, he'd come looking for you. You know that? No matter what, he would come looking for you. In fact, what he would probably do is he would take all of these coins and he'd put them in a safe place, and then he'd go after you because he wants to find you. He's got this special relationship with you, a special love for you guys. You know that? Yeah. So, you know, if you ever feel like you're kind of down or things aren't going right, you know, sometimes you have days like that, right? Yeah. You feel a little bit hopeless. Maybe you feel a little bit lost. You've got to remember what Jesus is telling us today. Jesus is telling us that no matter how lost you feel, he's always going to be looking for you and seeking you out. And you know why he does that? Because he loves you. Do you know how much he loves you? Well, he loves you enough to put all of these aside and go looking for you, right? But not only that, but there's another time that all of you have experienced already when God makes that promise to you. Do you know what we've been doing? A lot of times this summer, we've had this special service, and we have the baptismal font.
I was at Sunday school.
You were at Sunday school? Oh, that's a good place to be, buddy. You can just talk amongst yourselves. Yeah. Okay, so what do we do? What have we done many times with little babies, and we've done it right there with water? What do? Baptize, right. And do you know one of the things that God promises in baptism? And he's made that promise to every single one of you. In fact, to all of us. You know what he says? He says, you are my child. And when he says you're my child, it's I love you and I will never let you go. And trust me, if you ever feel lost, like one single coin, God will be there right by your side all the time. Okay? Should we pray? You guys want to pray after me? Okay. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. And for always being with us. We pray in your name. Amen. Thanks a lot, you guys. Well, I don't know. If I start handing these out, there's good. That's a weird one. No, we'll work on this later, okay? I'm not going to go near that one. All right. So, in the scripture, it kind of talks a little bit about, well, if I were to pick a word, I would say desperation. I mean, the thought of it, desperation, I mean, the thought of it just brings chills and shivers right up your spine. Of course, because we all have a different definition, or we have our own boundary that tips us into desperation. But Webster, for example, defines desperation this way. It says that desperation is a state of hopelessness or surrender to despair. Now, those are still two pretty tough words, you know, hopelessness and despair. And I'm sure for many or most of you, you can look around over the landscape over the years and you can find moments when you or others have acted in sheer desperation. You certainly know examples of it. You know, maybe there was a time when your finances just tanked. I mean, let's say you lost your job. And you know what's going to be in the mailbox next month. You just know what's coming. And how on earth are you going to pay for it? That can lead to some pretty serious desperation. Or you've heard about these airplanes that will crash into a mountain. I mean, there's all kinds of examples of this. They crash into a mountain, and a few people will live, and many people will die. the people who are still living up there have to figure out a way. Now, how are we going to communicate? How are we going to stay warm? What are we going to do for food? And you've seen on these movies what their decision has been for food. It's been pretty desperate. Or there's another example where a hiker would, in fact, this was in the news just a few years back. He fell, got his arm lodged in between two rocks, and he couldn't for the life of him get his arm out from those rocks. No way. He knew that in the position he was in right there, he was going to die. So what does he do? Well, to avoid dying, out of desperation, he finds a way to cut off his own arm. Or maybe there's a parent. Maybe there's a parent here today, someone you know who has a child that's just disappeared, and that you've searched desperately for that child, leaving no stone or leaf unturned, promising never to stop searching until that child is found. Desperation. It's hopelessness and surrender to despair. It's pretty difficult language, but it's everywhere. You know, it's even built right into creation, of all places. For example, did you know that there's a number of lizards that will detach? They'll detach their entire tail if you grab onto it. Can you imagine that? You've got a lizard running along, and you grab his tail, the lizard keeps going, and you've got the tail. And why does it do that? Well, it desperately needs to get away. It just has to get away. That's one of the things that it'll do, and it needs that tail. Of course, it grows back. You know, we all pretty much understand desperation. We know what it is. It's a primal response, and almost all of us knows how it feels, and it's not a very good feeling. In fact, in the pit of your stomach, it's a horrible feeling. But is this a condition that you would associate with God? You know, we have all these attributes that we assign to God, and we learn these throughout Sunday school and confirmation, and we hear about it in worship. You know that God is all-knowing and ever-present and almighty and powerful. But would you say that God is also desperate? I mean, would you ever say that God was desperate? In fact, would you ever go so far as to say that God is so desperate at times that he becomes careless? Even to the point of losing common sense. Maybe even tearful. Careless? Tearful? Desperate? That's not the kind of stuff we learn in textbooks about God, is it? Nope. I mean, we don't even come to think about God in that way. Yet, that's the God that is seeking you out, you and me, all the time, to be with us and to suffer with us every day of our lives. And this isn't just a comment that just drops out of the sky or seeped its way through the woodwork. This is the God of the Bible, the God that we learn about when we really read the Bible. In fact, it's Jesus who actually informs us of this unappreciated nature of God, and this is the God that we all seek, that we all hope to find, especially when we're hurting. So today, Jesus sets the stage for the discussion. He's sitting, having lunch with the Pharisees, and of course, there's a horde of people wandering by because they're all interested. Everywhere Jesus goes, he attracts people. And Jesus starts inviting some of them in. Well, of course, the righteous Pharisees, they just don't see how Jesus can possibly eat with these people. They're outcasts, for crying out loud. They're sinners. They're lost in their own world. Well, that's just the perfect place for Jesus to tell everybody what it really means to eat with sinners. And he begins by saying, well, by giving us this first parable. Okay, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that's lost until he finds it? Well, now you're probably thinking along the lines of the Pharisees, that sounds a little like an act of pure desperation to do something like that. Really? Consider this now. Which one of us here today, quite honestly, if we had 100 sheep and we lost one, which one of us would put the 99 at risk to search for the stray? Because that's exactly what Jesus is really asking. I mean, we immediately assume that the shepherd puts the other 99, in this nice fenced-in area. It's got hay in there and water and food and everything is secure and safe and fine. That's what we assume, right? It just makes sense. But Jesus says, which one of you would leave the 99 in the wilderness? You know, where they could go astray or become prey of wolves? The wilderness is not a friendly place. Well, you start framing it that way, and my guess is the answer to Jesus' question is there's not a one of us who would do that. It doesn't make any sense, right? Nobody's quite that stupid or reckless or foolhardy to actually leave 99 perfectly intact sheep to go after one that went astray. We wouldn't do that. We've been taught to, sometimes you got to cut your losses, right? I mean, if you're going to have 100 sheep, something's going to happen sometime. You just have to give it up or walk away from it. Well, at least we feel that's what a shepherd with any sense would do. Or since we're talking about desperation, let's move on to that second parable, because that's a good one too. Now, how many of you would, after losing a coin and then finding it back again, after searching high and low for it, how many of you would celebrate the occasion by, calling your friends, close friends, asking them, telling them about what you found and how hard you searched for it, and then inviting them over to rejoice, a little party. Get some chips and, Doritos and stuff and just, celebrate this thing. Because that's the next question that Jesus asks the Pharisees. My guess, again, is there's not a single one of us who would do that either. I mean, just think about it. Inviting friends over means what? Providing a meal, hence the Doritos and the dip and the whatever. Why would we want to spend more money than what we found? Doesn't make sense, does it? Just to celebrate our find with a friend? Nobody with any sense would even do that. They wouldn't consider it. But that's just the point. That's it. I mean, when it comes to God's children, God's lost, confused, hurting children, God has no sense. Poof. God would risk everything to find one of them, to find one of us, right here. And having found a lost and beloved child, he'd give anything to celebrate that. My goodness, all you have to do is think about the Bible. Think about the first two chapters of Genesis, right at the very beginning of this big, thick book. Those first two chapters are the only place where things really went well for God. The rest of this is all the stuff that God ended up doing to try and maintain a relationship with us, because we're just off doing our own thing. We're like a bunch of lost sheep. God is constantly trying to rein us in and renew his relationship with us. I mean, there's only one kind of word that even fits that behavior, and that is desperate. Searching out of desperation with the clear hope of a joyous celebration. Especially when you're found. So yeah, God is desperate for us, desperate to find us, desperate to redeem us, desperate to draw us back into his abiding and abundant love. And if doing this isn't enough, he offers it all as a promise. There's a saying about parenthood that many of you understand. You understand this. You know what this means. And that is this: a parent is only as happy as his or her least happy child. Now, in relation to God, who is our Heavenly Father, is there any wonder why Jesus says that there is great joy in heaven when a single sinner repents and is found? I mean, certainly more joy than the 99 righteous left behind, and the more lost we become, the greater cause for celebration when we're found. When God created us, God didn't turn us loose to fend for ourselves as if we were a colony of ants or something. God entered into our lives in every way. When we suffered, God suffered with us and then sought to renew the relationship. And that is no different today. God's promises are as good today as they were thousands of years ago. And they're going to remain that way until the end of time. It is God's promise to share in our joy, to share in our sadness, our weakness, and in our desire to be lost, and in our desire to be found. So the next time that you feel desperate about something and you're caught in hopelessness or despair, and you find yourself acting out of desperation, remember these stories. They tell us a great deal about God, how faithful God is, and how much God loves you. God knows what you're feeling because he feels it too. And in the midst of all the promises that he has given you and the patience that he has shown you, just remember, he will always come searching for you, desperately seeking you wherever you stray. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, if we only knew what it meant to be your child, if we only understood all the ways that you care for us, you know, to the point of seeking each of us out, and not just on Sundays or days of worship, but every day. Father, it may sound desperate to us, but I'm not so sure I'd want you to change. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.